to follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. More NFL here. Super Bowl is set. And here at Circa, the Seattle Seahawks, what, 4.5 in the game? 46. You guys, still is it 4.5 right now? We'll check the screen here. But Jimmy Pileggi joins the program now. He's a leading NFL odds maker here at Circa. And a lot to talk about here with the Circa squares and other props as well. Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming in today. How are you?
Of course. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. So before we get into the squares and everything like that, what were the results for the book like yesterday?
Well, as it's kind of out there in the public, but we definitely did not want the Seahawks to win. It was good that the Patriots won. That was a good future result for us. But yeah, we really needed the Seattle Seahawks out of there.
Yeah, because there was somebody who came here and bet pretty much everything, right, in August.
Yeah, we've been trying to get out of that liability for, since late August.
And
slowly getting out of it, but still, I mean, it was such a big liability.
Okay, so what was the high point of the number? Because you're currently sitting at 4.5 on the game. Were you at 5 at all?
We got to 5.5. So I opened last night, 4.5. 45.5, and it was actually kind of fun to book, because for the first half hour it was just 4.5, 5.5 bounce, and 5 really isn't a big, it's not a big move, but people were loving taking +5.5 for whatever reason. We landed on 5, then this morning we took +5 again, so just went back to 4.5.
A big bet at +5?
Yeah, limit bet. And at the time, yeah, it was like $50,000 bet.
Okay. As we get closer to game time, 2 weeks away, obviously, how big of bets are we talking about here? Will you guys take 7 figures?
Yeah, we actually already did this morning.
You took a 7-figure bet?
Yep. $1 million.
Which side?
Patriots.
Wow.
On the Patriots, huh? This is going to be... okay, so my early takeaway was last night. Public's going to be on Seattle. Sharps will be on Patriots. Does that feel right to you?
That's a good assumption, yes, but... the public still likes to bet they'll bet Seahawks money line, but with the points, they'll take Patriots.
Okay. What's your opinion on the game?
I mean, Seahawks just look so dominant.
I know.
It's scary.
Yes.
And Drake May struggled in the playoffs, but he obviously went up against, three of the top five defenses in the league. That's the big storyline, but has not looked good at all.
No, not at all. So take us through the squares then. I believe Circa was the first legal sports book to ever do this when Derek and company introduced
this. Yeah, that's what I believe as well.
Several years?
We trademarked it. It's like Circa Squares. I mean,
okay.
I don't think anyone else can call it Squares or anything.
Okay. Okay. And now a lot of other books have gone down the same path they do, because they're so popular, right?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Well, it's similar to like if, a block pool or blocks that bars give out or whatever. But usually it's random. You can't really pick your numbers. Here, you can pick your number, and obviously it'll reflect on the odds. Obviously, if you pick, 3-0 first quarter or something like that, that's pretty popular. But if you're trying to go for a home run, like a lot of my buddies will fly out for a Super Bowl. They love betting the squares. They'll take, a lottery ticket, 2-5 first quarter. I'm sure that's, 2,000 to 1.
Right, right.
So, I mean, people just like trying to hit the long shots.
0-0, the most common first quarter number in Super Bowl history. It's happened 24% of the time. That is currently sitting, I believe I saw, +425. So, what's the biggest bet that you will take on a square, to either the limit bet or to win amount?
I think it's to win 200,000 or whatever the longest odds are. Like,
And will you take those bigger bets?
I'm not sure. I mean, over the counter. I mean, on the app, I think it's obviously because... I mean, we have 2,001 laying out there on the app. I think we can only take $100 bet.
Okay.
But over the counter, we might take more.
And then some people come to the book or on the app, whatever, and they will bet every single number.
But that's correct. Because I when I first started out here, I was a ticker writer, and I had to deal with customers. I would come to the window, they just give me $1 on every square. Because what people like to do, they like to do that, and then at their own Super Bowl parties, they hand them out.
That's right.
Hand them out as gifts, yeah.
Good point.
So that's a popular thing that people like to do.
Yep. Let me show this this tweet, because it's interesting that Mita Kimes is also a Seahawk fan for ESPN. But this is going through all over social media what happened. After Geno Smith was traded to the Raiders, she said, "This is a terrible move by Seattle. Chances of upgrading are extremely low." And Geno Smith had a good year in Seattle, and they won 10 games.
Uh-huh.
So it goes back to maybe you're kicking yourself. Why didn't you grab maybe the 60-1 like that one guy was gobbling up? But she is wrong that they upgraded. But who knew Geno was going to be this bad, number one, but that he wanted out. And then Sam Darnold can win 14 games again.
Well, who thought it was a major upgrade, though, from going Geno Smith to Sam Darnold? All the question marks are still out because of how Darnold finished the year last year.
Yes.
Right? Otherwise, he'd still be the Minnesota quarterback in theory.
Yeah. I think the other big thing, though, was the creativity and how JSN became a star.
Well,
and how that changed the offense. Because we've talked about in Charchi was in studio, his prop was 950 for receiving yards, which Charch loved over. And the guy was on pace to break the record.
He doubled that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Overall? Okay, so how often will you actually change the numbers of the odds, by the way, when it comes to Circus Squares?
We'll try not to change them at all.
Really?
I mean, obviously, if it starts piling up on, like I said, 2-5, and it's 2001, we have a liability of $1 million. I mean, I'm sure Derek's not going to be happy about that. So we would lower that a little bit. But, these are pretty straightforward.
Okay. What's the plan here at Circa for the rest of this week anyway in terms of rolling out the props?
Okay. So tomorrow we're going to roll out first touchdown score. That whole tournament pool, we're going to get out Super Bowl MVP, get that out. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday is when we're trying to get two-sided props, index props, most receiving yards in the whole Super Bowl, most rushing yards in the whole Super Bowl. So that's by Saturday we'll have everything up.
A perfect result generally for a sports book is a very low-scoring Super Bowl.
Yes.
Usually, right?
Yeah, because Publix would be on all the overs, sharps coming at the end, bet all the unders.
Yeah. So if you think, Paulie's been making the case all day that he even threw out like a 13-10 finish, a 16-13 kind of game, defenses rule the day here. If you're of that belief, it is best to wait until much closer to game time because that you want to allow the public, to come in and just hammer every single over for 2 weeks, and then you come in at the end, and then that's when you pounce on the unders.
Or either openers. Or you wait till the end because if you get a good edge on an opener, you want to bet the under. But because it can move. It's Super Bowl is pretty straightforward. They know now, but some rushing yards or receiving yards, depending on the player, can move 5, 6, 7 yards.
Oh, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You also took an exacta bet. Jeff Benson tweeted this out last night, August 25th. There was one person who has $100 on the Patriots over the Seahawks in an exacta 3,100 to 1.
Yeah, pretty remarkable, huh?
How about that shot? That's to your point about it was sitting there right for you, huh?
Yeah.
You knew that the Patriots were bringing in Vrabel,
right?
Second year quarterback, and they had a very easy schedule.
Yeah, true, but in hindsight,
you took one bet on it.
Couldn't get Seattle. He could see the case actually, and that's like shame on us, right? Because you could see the case for Seattle. Good defense, won 10 games, in a tough division. But the Patriots were 1-2. Well, we talked about it all day on the pregame show. That game should have been in New England, but they lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, that's right.
Week one. And then they blew that game against Pittsburgh, and they got up to 130-1 to win the Super Bowl after the slow start. And now here they are, winners of 16 of the last 17.
Jamie Pileggi is our guest, leading NFL odds maker here at Circa. We're talking about the odds board, the squares that they offer here as well. They're up already. I'll give you this. So I said 24% of the time in the first quarter, it's been 0-0, most common out of any landing spot. In the second quarter, it's only hit 0-0 twice in the history of the game. How about that? And then you could actually get some wonky, like, final game scores where it pops, where you might have a 9-6, something like that, where teams go for two.
Yeah.
There's a safety involved, whatever, where you could get on some funny business here. And then I'm going to guess when that safety happened on the first play of the game many years ago, that was Broncos and Seahawks, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That number was, I think, 50-1 or something like that, maybe even a little bit higher than that at some books.
Oh, that was a monster.
Was it
first score of the game?
Safety.
Oh, it was huge.
Whatever it was?
100, yes.
Okay. That has to, because of that result, right? Like, that's no longer going to be available at that number.
Right. Well, yeah, because now, and books are aware of that, so it'll, shade it a little bit lower probably, but, it depends if someone offers, a two-sided prop. Will the first score be a safety? Yes, no. that makes them have a,
For sure. Yeah, and that'll be another one, too, where is the safety still a very, public bet?
Yeah.
Or is that more like 10, 15 years ago?
No, people still like the safety bet.
Okay, and then the sharps hammer the no still?
And Scorigami. People love the score.
Yeah.
Oh, the Scorigami.
And overtime?
Yeah, overtime.
Overtime. Got that, yes. Yep.
I think
yes.
Bob Dancer was telling us a story many years ago. Bob Dancer is a legendary video poker player and, you know, written books, podcasts, the whole thing. He was saying all of his sharp friends who bet Super Bowls would say, why don't we just all hammer the no on the safety? He did it like a couple years in a row, and that's when it happened on the stretch. He's like, guys, I'm out. I'm never doing it ever again.
Sure.
He was one and done. It was the first year he tried it?
I think it was the first couple years that he tried it. It came in both times.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy, thanks for the time today. We appreciate the perspective.
Of course. I love your guys' show. It's great.
Thank you. Nice to meet you. Appreciate it. Get ready to win a larger-than-life World Soccer Championship experience only at Circa. One lucky winner gets a two-night stay, a cabana for the games at Stadium Swim, $500 in credit, plus $250 in food and beverage. Arrive in style with limo transportation. Celebrate with cocktails at Legacy Club. Enter now and kick off the World Soccer Championship at Circa Resort and Casino. For giveaway details, visit CircaLasVegas.com. Cabana, two-night stay, $500 in credit, $250 in food and beverage. Limo, cocktails, CircaLasVegas.com. If you think it's that type of game, Mitch, Myers at some spots, 90-1 to win MVP. And for the special teams, Jones 55, Shaheed 28-1. Some early numbers, Super Bowl MVP.
Can you get like a 22-17 game where the Seahawks score one touchdown, he kicks five field goals?
Absolutely.
Walks out of there winning the MVP?
Absolutely.
Butker was more than 400-1 a couple years ago. He's 90 now? That's also Mahomes that he's got on his team, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Coaching observations from yesterday. One team has to be full of regret. And maybe we need to look at this former coach through a new prism coming up here and follow the money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Are you going to be betting Super Bowl squares? It's fun. Have a little action.
Yeah, give it a shot. Yeah.
Now, the Super Bowl is obviously a great example of of an event where you can try to make a lot of money.
Well, like you said earlier, though, it goes back to even when you were growing up in the Midwest, everyone would have it at their parties.
No doubt.
And everyone would pass the hat around and pick your number, draw it out of a hat.
But let's not forget about this as well. It's the final game of the year. It's a spectacle. I mean, what are the ratings? Get 120 million people, whatever it is. This is also supposed to be fun. And so if you make some crazy bets for a little bit of money, that if they cash, it makes it that much more exhilarating. Like if you take a flyer on some of this stuff, I mean, it's the next 2 weeks will be a lot of fun to do these shows, finding different props. The creativity is awesome. And so I wouldn't poo-poo like anything. Like,
no,
I go, I'm open
strange
to like,
stuff happens.
Yeah, 100% it does.
Remember the second giant Patriot Super Bowl?
Yeah.
They called the intentional grounding on Brady. And that was that run where safeties were happening left and right. And you had the Harrison pick six against Arizona. You had the start of the game in New York over Manning's head to start. The guy who runs the Nugget, Tony Miller at the Nugget, great line. We're in a hole we can't get out of after one play of the game.
Told his bosses that.
Yeah, kick returns, punt returns, pick sixes, and even the when the lights went out in New Orleans with the comeback with the Niners that just fell short, taking the intentional safety at the end, it falls three, kickoff return in that game. You had everything, Cash.
Top of your head, biggest play in Super Bowl history. I mean, there's a thousand of them. I always go back to the James Harrison interception right before half.
Yeah, game changer. Arizona's driving. Yeah.
Cardinals going to score.
Yeah.
He takes it the entire distance. Like that, what? Are you kidding me? It totally flipped the game.
Yeah. Tom Brady threw a pick six.
Yeah.
How about that?
And they came back and win.
Right. And that Super Bowl had everything, too.
Oh, my God, did it ever.
Overtime, somehow the Patriots covered all of it. Fantastic comeback.
Can we go back to the Sean Payton days of him kicking the onside kick to begin the third quarter against the Colts? Those days are dead?
Yes.
After yesterday.
I couldn't believe there wasn't any creativity or imagination out of Peyton. When he talked a big game immediately.
He did.
We'll be fine with Stidham. We won't have any problems. And then also, some people want to pin it on Peyton with this particular play. And if you want to, that's fine, but it's more on Stidham. But I would think all week he has to be telling him, even though I have a lot of confidence in you, don't be the reason we lose. And he was. Because the Patriots could not move the ball with the exception of the one drive, beautiful drive, took up almost 10 minutes to start the second half. Other than that, they did nothing on offense. Only two drives, the Patriots had more than one first down on those drives. And it's third and four, late in the first half, you have the ball 7-0, and he retreats, and he backs up, and he won't throw it away, and he won't throw it away, and he won't take the sack, he won't go down. And then the backwards pass, and you hand the Patriots the 7 points.
If that play doesn't happen,
they win the game, no doubt in my mind.
No doubt in your mind.
The Patriots weren't scoring.
Also, I got to say this, why'd they blow it dead?
They blew that, no doubt about it.
That should have been a defensive touchdown.
Yes.
Now, they eventually scored. I get that. So then it's not that big of a deal because, again, we're going to go results-based here. But if they didn't score right there, like that's a – I don't know if they win the game then. Like that should have been – let the play go. And by the way, whatever happened to the referees are now told to let these plays go. Let them develop. Don't blow the whistle prematurely here. They didn't do that. And I thought the Patriots got robbed out of that touchdown. Did you, by the way, I just thought about this. Did you have the no defensive touchdown?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes. You lucky SOB. Yeah. Did you have a parlay?
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you must have been. What'd you think? You had to think it was a touchdown.
I was screaming at Stidham.
Yeah.
You idiot. What are you doing? There's one thing you can't do.
Of course.
Don't make a mistake and be the reason you lose. And it goes back to, like it started with, as I mentioned earlier on the show, Kyler Murray in the playoff game. These guys just have in their minds that like taking a sack is the worst thing. No, the worst thing is turning the ball over. It's okay to take a sack, and it goes back to what Drake May told the sideline reporter before that game on NBC in the playoff game, that they have drilled it in my head. It's okay to punt. It's okay to punt. And in a game where 10 points holds up and you win, he made the boo-boo. And the horrible mistake. I don't know what he was doing on the interception. But we also knew, and
how about taking a shot right away out of the game? And you can never do that again? I get it.
Oh, the long throw to Mims?
Yes.
Sure, sure. But maybe he lost the confidence in him. But we knew it would snow in the second half. We didn't know we were walking into a blizzard, which also makes the Peyton decision early on egregious.
I can't believe
it. But there's great stuff on social media. There's the Denver fans saying, we got to kick. This is a mistake. And there's the Patriot fan saying, I hope they go for it because we're in trouble. But after the game, Peyton said, I was thinking 14-0. I made a mistake. Boy, did that loom large to go up 10-0 in a game that your defense is dominating and the Patriots can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, I don't want to hear the word elite or great thrown around with Sean Payton as a coach again.
No, it takes a massive hit.
No, the power rating is absolutely dinged.
See, I'm the same way now because you hear the same stuff about when they describe McCarthy. Oh, he has it. Well, so what? He has a Super Bowl. I mean, Rodgers carried him.
Oh, Rodgers
and then here, you want to keep bringing up Drew Brees. That's fine.
Yeah.
Peyton's a good coach, but he's had some bad moments in big games.
Yep.
And that's just, he talked a big game all week.
I did.
And he didn't deliver. And again, he's stubborn. He abandons the run. Bizarre moments this year. He would try trick plays, gadget stuff. And then here, when you would need a kick in the ass and you need something, he doesn't go to it. And the creativity, imagination was not there.
Yeah. The one part we disagree on is, you couldn't run the football. They missed J.K. Dobbins in that game.
They had more success than I thought. Because Harvey was, what, 13 for 39 or something?
Yeah, yeah. I tell you.
Stidham had some success. It looked like there was stuff there if they would design some stuff.
Yeah.
Or there's nothing wrong with going back to the Atlanta offense with Mike Vick. Just say drop back and take off and run.
Right. So I lost a prop bet on Stidham over 32.5 passing attempts. He had 21 at halftime. 21 at halftime. And the reason why I lost that is because that drive that you talked about, that totally changed the game to begin the third quarter. You sucked up 10 minutes off the clock.
Right.
And then so he had to attempt 12 more passes. Right. They couldn't get any drives going whatsoever. So that was it.
So then with like 2-3 minutes left in the third quarter, then it just gets vile and nasty.
Yeah.
Then the blizzard hits. And you don't know where the ball is. You can't complete a pass. Good luck making a field goal.
So what did you enjoy more, the blizzard yesterday or just the the late game and how that played out. Because we love snow football here. Like, the sport was meant to be played in those kind of elements.
Well, I had seen that before in the last meeting with Seattle and the Rams.
Right.
So I just thought the intrigue of, if this goes to overtime, how long will this thing last? Because it's almost impossible to complete a pass. And you can't get your... You saw Stevenson just slip when they tried to hand the ball off when they were backed up. And then every punt was an adventure. I mean, to think that they take over at the New England 33 with 6 minutes left and can't cash in. That's unbelievable.
I know.
How bad that was. Yeah. And then the interception of just every... It was just a mess just trying to put together anything through the air or on the ground and just trying to get a first down in the last 18, 19 minutes of the game. But I was there for all of it, thinking if he makes this kick and this goes to overtime, we're going to be here a long time.
Yeah, two coaching decisions that I did not like at all yesterday. Warren Sharp talked about this an hour ago. And if you missed any of the show today, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. And that is running the football on that first play with R.J. Harvey and you lost 3 yards. You're completely up against it at that point. In those conditions right there, I thought that was a bad choice by him. And then when the Rams got the ball back up 13-10, somehow they have the lead late second quarter and you rip off 5 yards with Kyren Williams to begin the drive. And then you go incomplete and give the ball back to Seattle. You had to run again there on second down. You could not give the ball back to the Seahawks. And I don't think they were going to take a timeout and maybe you get the first down. That entire very small window of time went from the Rams, I think, having a great chance to win the game to, you're no longer up 13-10 or 16-10 or maybe 20-10 to trailing 24-13 again before you could blink. Well, and they still almost overcame it.
Here's the last thing I wanted. I didn't want to come in here today and discuss, oh my God, a Bill Buckner moment and Woolen was the reason they lost. Rule number one of a big game for an official is stay out of the way. How you make that call when we're playing for a trip to the Super Bowl is beyond me. Was it boneheaded? Yes. But to make that call when Seattle's getting the ball back up 2 scores.
Right.
Not only that, then he gets burned on the next play by Puka. I mean, he would have been – they lose that game, and it's all about Woolen. What are you doing? You changed everything. You ruined our season, all that. That would have been horrific.
Let's hope that something like that doesn't happen in the Super Bowl, where somebody, wearing stripes out there loses his mind, has to be part of the show, and then call something that's completely egregious, and then it costs one of the teams the game.
And, of course, they miss another face mask again.
Again.
Another obvious face mask.
And there was a hole, too, I think. There was a really bad missed call. Yep. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Tonight's Hoops card is up next. We have one of the best games in the regular season on the schedule. We'll talk about it coming up next. Here's what the top of the NBA draft could look like next year in any order. Bucket Jones, Kansas, Darren Peterson, A.J. DeBanza, BYU in action tonight. More on that game in a second. Cam Boozer, Duke, Caleb Wilson, North Carolina, phenomenal freshman, 19.5 points, 11 rebounds a game. Kingston Flemings, I can't get enough of him at Houston. That's like the top five. That's what the freshmen are doing this year is... People are calling it now, and they have since Saturday, like the best freshman class ever. I'm not going to disagree.
Maybe a fun February and March.
Oh, March is going to be...
With how great these freshmen are, and this is juicy that we have three teams that are 20-0. How long does it last? Who knows? But even... It doesn't matter the conference either. Finally, Miami of Ohio's ranked, but it's unfortunate. You're seeing like 11 seed with this bracketology stuff, but they also... All these teams score, get up and go. And especially the teams in action tonight with this Arizona-BYU game with a total of 167 now.
Yep. And by the way, DeBanza's points prop tonight is either 23.5 or 24.5. Cam Boozer in the early game is at 24.5, and he is shaded to the under for his game against Louisville. But think about that. Just commonplace now for these freshmen to go out there and have props in the mid-20s, which is just ho-hum.
Yeah.
Went out there and did it again. A bunch of dudes scored 40 points on Saturday.
Yeah.
But tonight, phenomenal game. I hope it lives up to the hype because you said this earlier, when BYU played in the Mountain West Conference, it was, you know, that conference was near and dear to our heart. Lon Kruger had UNLV rocking and rolling. Great conference. San Diego State was really, really good. And the Mountain West Conference tournament was always great. BYU was a bee's nest to go to and play. And it has been for a long time. So they're 9-0 straight up at home this year, and they've scored at least 85 points in 8 of those 9 home games. Both teams average almost 90. It's a pick 'em. I wanted a couple of points with BYU. I'm not going to do anything now. I think either way, watching this game tonight, to me, the best way to approach it would be just live bet it. You're going to get a better number on these teams at some point.
This Arizona offense, too, and both these teams in the high 80s, and how they can score. But their resume is also impressive. With it's one thing to win, but now you see Michigan's dropping off a little bit, where they had the loss as a big favorite, and now they haven't been cashing these covering these spreads, laying big numbers. But for Arizona, they beat Auburn by 30, Bama by 20, San Diego State by 23, Utah by 20, K-State by 25, West Virginia by 35. I mean, it's by margin in a lot of these, and that's impressive.
And they're 13-7 ATS on the year, and they're laying huge numbers in all these games, not tonight. But
and imagine what these conference tournaments are going to look like. Because you look at the Big 12, how many teams are ranked in the top 15? Well, yeah, and even Houston, how well they played in. And you mentioned how well the kid played and going off. They still lost that game to Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech's really good. I don't know if they can win the whole thing, but you can still find a pretty good price on Texas Tech to make the Final Four. Their depth would be a concern. Other people have said like the defense might not be good enough this year, but they're awesome. This team tonight, again, Arizona, fourth in offense overall at KenPom, third on defense. BYU was 12th and 25th overall. BYU shooting, though, tonight would be my one concern. It has dipped about 8% or a little bit more than that last three games from an effective field goal percentage standpoint. So they obviously need to be on, because stopping Arizona for a game and expecting them to limit them to like 75 points, probably easier said than done.
Little Richie Saunders tonight?
Oh, really good.
Yeah, he could go off. It's a good run here, because then tomorrow you got Nebraska and Michigan as well. And how often do you see like number 3 against number 5? Number 5's undefeated, catching double digits. That's crazy.
Are you going to take Nebraska?
Yes.
Yeah.
10.5?
Yeah, they're. Where does Lenardi have them? Have you looked lately?
Where's Nebraska's?
Yeah.
Seed? Give me 2 seconds. Yes.
Okay.
Another team that's hot is St. Louis.
Oh, but they one loss?
They were bombs away Friday. Yeah.
In the early game, Duke's up to 8.5 in this game against Louisville. They opened a little bit lower than that. This is the second meeting between these two teams on the year. The first time they played in Louisville, the Cardinals started that game scorching hot from downtown. They really couldn't miss, and they got out to a double-digit lead over Duke.
It's got Nebraska 2-seed.
Okay, 2-seed. That's fair. Then Louisville started to, you know, the shots were not dropping as easily as the game progressed. Duke came roaring back. They won. They covered the game. They won by 11 there. So Duke overall is third in net rating at KenPom. Louisville is 16th overall. Duke has top 5 offense and defense. And I just, Louisville doesn't get to the free throw line very often because they take so many threes. If they're not dropping tonight, Duke, I think, will cover this game probably with some ease. But as I said about the Arizona BYU game, my hopes are, and look, I mean, games can go in different directions, but I'd like to see Louisville get out to another hot start tonight where things are dropping and then get a better number on Duke and have them come back and win the game, expecting the Cardinals not to have a full 40 minutes of just, like, bombs away. So a really good doubleheader tonight, starting in 25 minutes, actually.
Okay.
Cameron Indoor.
Good NBA card as well, even though it's short. We already had 2 finals from earlier today. As the weather's wreaking havoc, stuff getting moved around. Atlanta punished Indiana 132-116. Charlotte embarrassed Philly 130-93. Mark Spears. Giannis has played his last game as a Buck.
What?
That's what he said. Now Giannis is hurt, got the calf injury.
Going to be a month?
Going on the last year of his deal, and he says that he won't sign the extension. I don't know if they'll trade him. Deadline coming up in a week.
Well, what are they going to do then? They're going to do...
Well, he's probably saying he's going into next year. He won't sign the extension, and then they say, well, we don't have a choice then. We can't let you walk and get nothing in return.
Well, it's not going to be Shohei Ohtani. Okay. It can't be.
No, you have to trade him. Absolutely. If he hasn't signed the extension, he's telling you. He's saying without saying it.
At this point,
they just can't catch a break.
The Bucks?
How they handled this, and then they kept getting one seeds and going out early, losing the first round 3 years in a row. Lillard gets hurt. He gets hurt. Can't put the roster around him.
Yeah, they never
everything
had the,
blowing up.
They never had the proper roster construction around him. They didn't. And then they gave up on guys too early in the draft. They had Grayson Allen. They had Dante DiVincenzo. Those guys absolutely would have helped at this point. So bad job there by the front office. And sure, why not? Because you're not going to win anything with him at this point the way it looks anyway, and you need to get an absolute haul. For some other players in the NBA to fetch what they have in a trade, Paulie, like he has to blow away some of these trades, does he not? What'd the Knicks give up for Bridges? 4 first-round picks?
Yeah, that was stupid.
You have to get, you're going to be able to, you would think in theory, name your price. But you have to get a bunch of picks and young guys here. That's why your idea of the Knicks, I can't stand it, because it does the Bucks no good in the future. It does them no good. They'll do absolutely nothing with Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
They'll be a non-playoff team, probably.
He's fallen out of favor quickly. But give him credit for beating the Sixers on Saturday. Yep. I'm concerned about the spot tonight with the Lakers. You can hit on a T-Wolves game in a second as that keeps moving. But the Lakers are this is the fourth game of an 8-game road trip. They're off the massive comeback in Dallas on Saturday night. Luka was great, especially in the fourth quarter. And now they're a 1.5-point favorite in Chicago. Remember that crazy game last year? They went to Chicago. Giddy hit the half-court shot to win it at the buzzer.
That's right.
It's an incredible back-and-forth game. But this is where I don't know what Laker team I'm going to get in terms of what effort am I going to get on the defensive end. And is J.J. Redick going to light him up after the game? So this just could be crazy with the score, with 234.5 the total. But the Bulls are playing good ball of late. And this would be a little bit concerned where the Lakers, the schedule gets them as they're on this long road trip.
The Bulls have won and covered 4 straight games. They're 6-2 with a net rating of plus 8.2 in their last 8 games overall. And you're right, the Lakers, they have a win over a Raptors team. That was in a terrible rest spot for the Raptors. They also were getting buried by the Nuggets with all their injuries a couple nights ago.
Yep.
And they had to come. Now, they had a great second half. Also down by 14 at halftime to come back and win that game. Down by 15 fourth quarter the other night against the Mavs to come back and win.
Mm-hmm. They're playing with fire.
So I think the Bulls might be worth a look as well.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they let go of the rope, too, in the second half if they're getting blasted and they focus on the rest of the road trip, if that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly you can't give up 71 points to Denver like they did in the first half, and they did a great job in the second half.
I'll give you a player prop to look out for tonight, and it's moved a little bit. It's moved about 20 cents, but it's Jalen Tyson, Cavaliers. Sam Merrill is out. Darius Garland is also out. Last 8 games, he's had some the point production, 23, 39, 16, 17, and 17. He did go under 3 times as well, but the potential is there. He gets a lot of run. He is one of the main guys I have now to fill it up, actually. And his number is 14.5 tonight, like minus 125.
Mm-hmm.
It was minus 105 earlier today, but you're paying 20 cents now with the news that Merrill is not going to be playing in this game.
Warriors sitting people. That's from Minnesota 6 up to 10.5 and a 5-point move on the under. 232.5 to 227.5.
That's already moved that much, huh?
And it was Minnesota did not care and did not want to be there or play basketball yesterday. As 25 turnovers and held in the 80s in that game.
Yeah, and Steve Kerr talked about it after the game. He just basically said that we could tell right away that the players were not into the game. Too difficult for him. And it was a terrible performance by Minnesota. How about an underplay tonight? I mean, agreeing with that market move.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Don't want to be there. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing tonight.
All right, we'll recap our in-pocket players from the weekend, tell you what we're adding to the portfolio next here on VSiN.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're on.
All right. Gave some back with this Patriots first half run. At least got the push on one of them. Williams I think the first one won, but 25 rushing yards each half, no good. Cooper Kupp over receiving yards was a winner. Hunter Henry, nothing, couldn't throw the ball, couldn't complete a pass. May only had 80 yards, two of them to Hollins for 50. Push first half Patriots, and then Patriots first half, 2.5, no good. Puka had one carry for 4 yards, couldn't get the 5. I thought that was a pass behind the line of scrimmage, too, that dump off. That push pass Stafford had late as well. A May field goal each quarter, 4-1, no good in the Rams game. And Stidham, most passing yards, plus 650. Yeah, good first half, but that had no chance. And both teams to make a 33-yard field goal in the Rams game, also no good. Incredible that both games had a scoreless fourth quarter, especially in the late game, after we had 28 points in the third quarter. Bruins-Rangers, first period over, coming up tonight. The last time they played, it was 10-2. I don't want to give you first 10 because this is incredible. It's minus 230 going the first 10. As the Rangers have 10 in a row, 10 straight for the Rangers going the first 10. We'll go first period over tonight, the Garden. And I don't know if they're going to be able to protect May in the Super Bowl with the offensive line and the pass rush and the great Seattle defense. They had their issues yesterday as well, and they couldn't slow down the Texans. But the one thing that's been working for May has been taking off and running. They'll go over rushing yards, 37.5 in the Super Bowl, as it'll be there for them to take off and run. And don't be afraid to do the design stuff as well. That was a great call to wrap it up on the 3rd and 6 with the boot and just scamper and get the first down and then run the clock out.
Okay.
It was well done.
Best of luck, Paulie. Recapping the weekend here, Harvey did stay under 43.5 rushing yards. That was the winner. Stidham passes, attempts over. 21 at halftime, could not get to over 32.5. They couldn't get anything going offensively. Neither team could. Over was a loser. Team total Patriots, loser. Stidham and May, 25 completions each, pizza money. That was a Lahoo Zahur as well. Tonight, this is something that Zach Cohen wrote about, beeson.com, last week. When Ja Morant doesn't play for Memphis, Cam Spencer picks it up as the point guard for the Grizzlies. His assists in games without Ja recently, 11, 13, 11, and 11. Now, it's a tough travel spot here. Also, the Houston defense is really, really good, but at 6.5, over is minus 130 in that range tonight. I got to play it again. So, 7. It's come down actually a little bit. It was 7.5 earlier today. Over was a little bit of plus money, so the market's moving this, but I'll bet on him getting 7 more tonight. If it loses, it loses, but he's been on a tear when Morant's not playing.
Get ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code FTM. Every best bet, every host, every guest, the DK and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, Super Bowl picks, Super Bowl guide, March Madness guide, VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code FTM to save $60 off the VSiN Pro annual subscription today. A couple of things here. We mentioned it on the tailgate show yesterday. Number one, imagine if the Patriots if they didn't lose to the Raiders week one, the game would have been played in a blizzard yesterday or potentially moved. Also, they flip it, rotate year after year. Imagine if the NFC game was the first game yesterday and the AFC game was the late game. Can you imagine?
Oh, it would have been fantastic.
Oh, my God. To play that game in those conditions, number one, and then just to see what the markets were doing. Well, we're all focused on the NFC title game and how it played out in an incredible game and finish. Meanwhile, we're going on, we got a blizzard in the next game. And what that would have done to the total and the props, and to think that you could, it was, a kick was an adventure, a punt was an adventure, handing the ball off was a chore.
I have to admit,
that would have looked like for 3 hours?
I'm kind of blown away that there are people out there who think games need to be moved to a neutral site to avoid bad weather. That just...
Unbelievable.
It just...
Absurd.
That's poison right there, that kind of talk.
We need neutral site games.
Yeah, that is rat poison. It's exactly what it is. Stop saying that. How could that thought even enter somebody's head?
The quote from Mike Florio was, the fourth quarter of the AFC title game was unwatchable and unplayable.
Unwatchable.
Unwatchable.
Oh, is that right?
It's captivating.
Yes, it was.
That was going to go on all night if he makes the field goal from 45 to tie it. You could have been there all day.
Oh, okay, so
you're just waiting for someone to make a mistake. A big play wasn't going to happen in the passing game.
So what do we say about the drop-off from Knicks to Stidham? Because they did cover the game. They covered that number after the adjustment. Again, on the look-ahead,
I thought the defense was great.
Yeah, they were.
They did an excellent job. New England had the one drive. I mean, only two New England drives had multiple first downs. Think about that. But it's just it's the silliness with Stidham. You can't make the mistake and turn the ball over and hand them 7 points. To punch your friend. And then Peyton passing on the field goal.
If two plays go the other way, if he decides to actually attempt the field goal and they make it, imagine if Stidham doesn't make that backwards pass. Do the Patriots score a point yesterday? Probably the field goal?
No, I'll give them the drive to start the second half.
I'll give them that drive.
Yep.
Is that it? Is the final score 7-3?
I don't think the Patriots were scoring an offensive touchdown without help, which what they got.
Yeah.
I don't think it was happening.
May threw for 80-plus yards, and they won the game.
And most of them on the flea flicker.
Yeah. And Stafford throws for 375 against that defense. 3 touchdowns, no INTs, can't win. I'll tell you what, stock way down on Chris Shula, defensive coordinator.
I concur.
For the Rams. And
stop
I'll say
something.
This,
stop it. Come on.
I think, should we not like all be on Kelce and other spots where you can bet this stuff? Kubiak's going to get a job, is he not?
Has to.
How does he go through this coaching cycle where there were 10 openings and this guy doesn't land a gig?
JT the Brick tomorrow. Maybe he's coming out here. All the obvious stuff got there in the NFC game.
Oh, yeah. Everybody scored.
JSN and Puka, 300 yards combined plus 850. Puka, 50 yards each half plus 340. Puka and JSN, 5 yards each quarter, 5-1. 10 yards each quarter, 15-1. Stafford and Darnold, 600 yards passing, plus 375. 700 yards was 12-1. Parkinson gave this out. Most tight ends, most yards by a tight end, plus 550. Cup anytime, 3-1. The Paul Charchian props. Corum, 3 catches, 16-1. 20-plus yards receiving, plus 950.
By the way, I saw the screen grabs of the people who sent them in for people who listened and actually had access to those books that were, you know, they were booking Blake Corum stuff. Great job, guys. Way to go. I mean, Charge comes on with the best breakdowns that you're ever going to hear. And they're not always going to hit, but man, he has been on a tear here down the stretch. And he had that window this year, like a month, where the anytime touchdowns were popping like crazy as well with him. But the Corum stuff was so good yesterday. Kyren Williams, by the way, I don't think had 5 yards rushing in the fourth quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Not the way it looks.
All right, there it was.
Yeah.
Thank you. When did you start getting there that this is going to happen for Seattle?
I fought it for too long just because I was so...
Because of Sam Darnold?
No, I was... I stuck to my Rams future bet.
Yeah.
I mean, I got off of that yesterday. Yesterday, the number was low enough. $1.35, I believe, is the money line number I had on Seattle. But so yesterday overall, made some money. I monetized that ticket and beyond, but that was also, I had a couple of futures there that paid 7.5 stacks of High Society, as I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show today. So that was a tough one to swallow, but they're really good, but I didn't add anything because I didn't want to add too much. I just stuck with the Rams. I thought the Rams were the best team in football.
The first meeting got me. Darnold was atrocious and had 4 picks. I know they could have won the game and still should have won the game, but that's the one where I'm like, yeah. And the big spot, he's going to turn it over. And he was awesome. He was so good. And now what a match. I mean, you got a team that's won 13 of 14 against a team that's won 16 of 17 here. Remember week one? They lost a 17-13 game to the Niners.
I know.
Darnold had the turnover while they were driving.
I'll tell you, MVP bets for this game are going to be interesting. I think you can probably make the case for a couple of non-quarterbacks here to bring it home. I'm on Kenneth Walker from after the 49ers game when Charbonnet got hurt. If we had the Broncos, I'm all for it. But this rush defense by New England,
run.
He's not in for a great game.
I can't run against him.
So
I don't think they'll be able to.
If the Super Bowl plays out like the game did last night and the Seahawks win, who's the MVP, Darnold or JSN?
Sam Darnold.
Has to be.
Yes.
Unanimous. All right, that's it for us. Stay tuned. Primetime next. 4 hours of live betting action tonight. Great college basketball they're going to take you through. Good luck, everybody.